Let's stand and read Psalm 111. Just a few verses here. Psalm 111 and in verse number 1. And can I pause a second before I read this verse? You need to bring your Bibles to church. You need to have your Bibles at church. I'm not looking around. I'm looking above your heads. I have no idea. I'm not taking inventory. But the Lord just laid on my heart just now. I don't know why, but have your Bible at church. Probably you're saying, this is the one week I missed. And he's saying, I have no idea who does and doesn't. I'm not looking. But I know the Lord laid on my heart to say it. And we need our Bibles at church. What people went through so we could have this book. And then it's all we've got. If you're just counting on my wisdom to get you through this week, you're going to have a bad week. Because I don't have a whole lot of that. But this book is full of wisdom. And so I challenge you, bring your Bibles to church. Psalm 111, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion. Isn't God good? He's to be praised. Brother Salih just read, if we've got breath, then we ought to praise the Lord. Back over in Psalm 100, let's read this through this again. Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 103, verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 104, and verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Folks, we need to praise the Lord. In Psalm 105, and in verse number 1. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. We ought to talk about it. We ought to open our mouth. We ought to share it. We ought to sing it. We ought to rejoice in it. Amen? We ought to be able to share these things. In Psalm 106, and in verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? We have so much. We can say it. We can't give him enough praise. If we were to spend the next 10 days all taking a turn praising the Lord, we still would not praise him for what he's worthy of. He's worthy of praise. Father, I pray you take this message and use it for your glory. I pray that we'd honor your name. Thank you, Father, for blessing us this week. Thank you for the little things that, Lord, we take for granted. The shoes we got on our feet. Lord, the socks we have on. Father, the car that's parked outside. The sun that shines down. That warms this earth. The air that we breathe. Father, the brown bird that was mentioned. The beauty and the features you've given it. Father, for a love that you've given a husband and wife for many years. Father, for the privilege of being able to worship you. God, we don't praise you enough. And Father, I pray you teach us to praise you more, and we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'm going to go through very quickly these things tonight. We'll wrap this up next week. We're talking about why should we praise the Lord. I hope that it's a challenge that you take. You ought to praise the Lord. The Bible says in the passages that we read, we ought to open our mouth and talk about His wondrous works. There's nothing wrong. You know, you say, well, I am thankful. I just don't like saying it out loud. Well, there's something wrong with that. You ought to want to proclaim it and to praise Him. You ought to want to say to someone else, especially in the congregation, that my God is great. He is wonderful. He is good. He is merciful. He is just. He is loving. He's compassionate. We serve a great God. He blesses us so much. Yet we don't praise Him like we should. So we've really been trying to praise Him. Me too. The more I praise Him, the more I realize I just don't praise Him like I should. God is wonderful. God is blessing us. We've looked at ways in which we, or why we ought to praise the Lord. Rehearse real quick. Number one, because it's the will of God. We need to praise the Lord because that's the will of God. Number two, because it allows us to worship Him in spirit and truth. Number three, according to Jude verse 21, it will keep us in the love of God. Many people out, many Christians tonight who don't feel like God loves them. And the reason why Christians feel that way is because they don't have a close relationship with Him. They don't see it. We love Him. The reason is because we've realized He first loved us. When we start remembering all the ways and the mercies of God, it will keep us in the love of God. In Psalm 107, and we praise the Lord so we will not take God for granted. It's easy to take God for granted. Easy to take Him for granted. In 1 John 5:3, number 5, we praise the Lord because it will allow us to enjoy keeping His commandments. His commandments are not grievous to those that love Him. In Romans 8, verse number 28, them that love God, all things will work together for good. God will take bad things, turn them to good to those who love God. So praise Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9, we praise Him because the best is yet to come. Amen? Talked about it this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? We're going to the Father's house. Amen? We don't have to be overburdened and with the cares of this world. Number 8, we praise the Lord because so that we can experience the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, verses 16 and 19. The fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? Well, we ought to be filled with the Spirit of God every day. Yielding ourselves to the complete surrender to the Holy Spirit. The fullness of God. Number 9, Jesus will become more of a reality to you. The Lord said, I will manifest myself to them that love me. We praise Him. That makes us love Him. And when you love Him, you'll see where the Lord is in your life more. In John 14, verse 23, we praise the Lord because the Trinity will live with you. Again, you see, I can't fully explain that. Other than the Lord has said, if we love Him and we see His praise and we worship Him in that way, the Bible says that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come and make their abode with us. That's just knowing the presence of God in your life. Just enjoying it. A confidence, a joy, a peace. We live in a generation of Christians today who do not know what it is to hear from God, to talk to God. Church is just some social function. And it can come that way with you and I too. But we've got to praise Him. We've got to thank Him. Number 11. I'm going to give you a bunch of these very quickly. And then we'll wrap it up next week. Number 11. Turn to 1 John chapter number 4 real quick. 1 John chapter number 4. We'll use our Bibles quickly and wrap this up. 1 John 4 and in verse number 18. Again, we praise the Lord. We see that He loves us. It makes us love Him. And that concept. And if you haven't caught on yet while you're turning there, folks, the whole purpose why God instructs us to praise Him and why God instructs us to look for His mercy and to look for His presence and to look for all the blessings in our life, the reason He wants us to do that is because we will realize just how much God loves us and takes care of us. And when we see how much He loves us and takes care of us, that demands in us almost that we will love Him so much more. We'll realize this and we'll fall in love with the Lord over and over and over again. And we see how great He is to us. How much He expresses His love. Makes us want to love Him more. And the whole point is this. A closer walk with God. Have you ever met those Christians who you just spend time with them and you just think, wow. Those people just spend time with God. I mean, even in the book of Acts, it took some unlearned fishermen who had no education. Yet after the high Jews had spent time with them, they knew they were unlearned. But they knew that these men had spent time with the Lord. It affected them. It changes. You know what happens when we spend time with the Lord? We don't sit in a church service all bummed out. When someone starts preaching about how it's great, you can't help but every once in a while say, Amen! Praise the Lord, He is good! Time for testimonies! Oh, let me! He's good in my life! So I'm not sure what to say. There's no words that you have to say. God's good. Some of the best testimonies I've ever heard are not words. They just stand up and just are in awe of God. Boy, He's good. He's a wonderful God. And we draw closer to Him when we have that walk with Him, which, look at me, which is vital if we're going to live the life that God wants us to live. Being a parent, being a child, being a grandparent, being a church member, being a Sunday school teacher, it's that walk with the Lord. I'm not saying that you don't have that. Don't leave here saying that He thinks none of us have that. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you this. This is a process I'm going through, and I hope you're going down the same road with me, that we'll learn to love Him more and learn to walk with Him closer. We all need it. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18. Why should we praise Him? Because you'll not fear. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect or mature, complete. That word perfect. How do we get that kind of love? See his works. Praise Him. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in what? Love. So what should we do? Verse 19. We love Him. Because what? We start seeing all the ways that God loves us. It makes us love Him. And you know what happens? Fear leaves our lives. We've talked about this, and I don't have to preach on it long on a Thursday night, talking about the devil's devices. But fear is destroying Christians' lives. Christians are living their life in fear of spiritual things, of financial things, of just the world coming to an end. You know, and just, what am I going to do? Life is over. No, it's not. Life is good. You say, what if our economy just bottoms out? God's good. So what if we lose everything? We've got forefathers for 2,000 years that went through times like that. God got them through. Amen? He'd get us through too. Now, we might not be able to have all the cushions that we have now, but God will see us through. Fear. Fear cripples Christians. There are some people who won't take a ministry that God's called you to do because you're afraid. There's some who won't go soul winning on Tuesday night because we're afraid. Then there's some who, if some child came forward tonight and said, I want to be saved, if I ask you and said, would you please come talk to this child? No, no, no. Who do you think wants you to feel that way? Is there any doubt in that? Can you see the Lord saying, oh no, Brother Davis, fear that. Don't go talk to that child about how to be saved. Oh no, Brother Davis, stay in your seat. What a frightening thing. Is that ridiculous? Yes. The Lord would say, go, Shane, talk to that child. The devil would say, but what are you going to say to that child, Brother David? Well, I hope you don't call your brother. That'd be bad. All right, what are you going to say to that child there? That's the way we think, isn't it, sometimes? I can't do that. What would I possibly say? Where's that coming from? What's the Lord tell us to do? Can I tell you how to be a great soul winner? I'm going to tell you how to be the greatest soul winner in the world. Just tell them what happened to you. Amen. We are sowing factories that produce all these people to say the same things and have their routines and now no leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what made people afraid of being a witness. For thousands of years, and now people were a witness. I don't understand it all, man. But this is what happened in my life. Amen. That's why it's called supposed to be a witness. You know what a witness is, right? If you're called to court to be a witness, what are you going to tell? What you saw. Right? This is what happened. This is how I saw it. That's why the Lord told us to be witnesses. Amen? I mean, you look at when the Lord witnessed to the Samaritan woman and when He witnessed to Zacchaeus. Totally different. When He talked to with Nicodemus and the woman and the rich young ruler. Was there a pamphlet that you had to have memorized and this is the words? All right, step one. Is that what the Lord did? He just talked to them, shared with them their need. Amen. Fear. We're so afraid. When we praise the Lord, fear is removed. Because perfect love casteth out fear. Number 12. Turn over to Luke chapter number 2 real quick. Luke chapter number 2. Number 12 is this: you'll have favor with God. You'll have favor with God. Luke chapter number 2 and in verse number 52. I don't know how so much that I can explain favor with God. I'll do my best just using Scripture. But Luke 2 verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Increased in favor. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter number 3 real quick. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs 3 and in verse number 3. Proverbs 3 and in verse number 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Where you see God's mercy, as we looked at in John and in Jude, when you see how good God's been, don't forsake those things. Man, hold on to those things. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. When I say you'll be favored by, you'll have, grow in favor with God, I don't necessarily mean that He'll love you more than someone else. But what the concept is this, is that you will draw closer to Him than where others who are not praising Him are. There's a reason why John the Apostle was, quote, the apostle whom Jesus loved. You know, when we praise Him, we draw closer to God. And we grow in favor with God. I didn't say that you will be a favorite, right? But you will grow in favor with God. You will love and share a deeper love. That's an exciting thing. In Daniel chapter number 6. Turn over there real quick. Daniel chapter 6, number 13. 13th reason why we need to praise the Lord. This is a good one. Listen to it. Because you'll be delivered from lions. Amen? Delivered from lions. Daniel chapter number 6. Of course, we talked about what Daniel did in verse number 10. On his knees 3 times a day, he prayed and gave thanks before his God. He praised Him, He praised Him, He praised Him. But what I'm going to look at is Daniel chapter 6, verse number 22. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before Him innocency was found in me, and also before Thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Daniel was delivered from those lions. Amen? There's an excellent spirit about him. He praised and thanked God 3 times a day. And God delivered him from the lions. You say, I'm not going to be cast before lions. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a what? roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. Folks, when we praise the Lord, it makes us lion-proof. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Amen. You say, the devil can't get me? That's exactly what that verse says. The Bible says the devil is seeking whom he may devour. You know what that means? You take two people, all right? Jake, why don't you stand up, all right? And Dan, will you please stand up for me, all right? Here's Jake and Dan, all right? Brother Dan spending time three times a day thanking God and praising God, finding things that today already. He thanked God for his wonderful wife. He thanked God for his children. And was it Raven had a birthday coming tomorrow, right? Praising God for Raven and her birthday tomorrow. He praised God that his band's running. He got the church. Amen. He's just excited. God's good to him. And he's praising him. And the more he sees these things, the more he's in love with God. And here's Jake. Jake wakes up in the morning, does his thing, and spends his whole day. And he doesn't stop and praise the Lord. You know what? Who, after a week of praising the Lord and him just doing his thing, who do you think is sensitive to God? Who do you think is looking around? Let's say both of them. Both of them. All right? They both have automobiles. Both of them get in an accident this week. You know, the one that's praised the Lord and he sees all good God's been, you know what happens? It's a bummer. We've all been there probably, right? It's a bummer. When we have that close walk with God, it's okay. God's taken such good care of me, he's not going to fail me now. But the one who's sitting here never praised God, oh great, now what are you going to do, God? And some of us have been there. God, you're supposed to take care of me. Now, with these two attitudes, the devil's sitting here, and the Bible says he's as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Which one do you think he's going after? He looks here and he listens to Dan praising the Lord. Praise him for something, Brother Dan. Thank God for your... And he goes, the guy has a walk with God. He walks over here and complains about your car. He goes, hey, Jake, God's failed you. When you praise the Lord, look at me, makes you lion-proof. It shuts the lion's mouth. When the devil says over here, so Dan's God being good to you, boy, God's good to you. And the devil says, well, I guess I can't talk to him. Shuts his mouth. But he's listening. You go to church every week, God's not, he let your car break down. Now what are you going to do, Jake? That's the way he works. He's looking whom he may devour. That's why if we all praise the Lord, you know what happens? It shuts his mouth. Amen. Thanks, guys. Sit down, all right? It makes you lion-proof. Look at another verse concerning this, and then we'll do a couple more, all right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at this verse real quick with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Then we'll go on to the next point. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And in verse number 26, Second Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. If we'll praise the Lord, it will remove you from that snare that Jake Gefell found himself in. So praise him, it'll deliver you from lions. We're right. Number 14 is the same kind of thought. Number 14, the devil will flee. And you just saw how that works. I hope. Amen. Praising the Lord. The devil says, well, I can't talk to that person. He's not going to be listening. He's in love with God. Right? Go figure. Isn't that the way every Christian should be? Amen. Isn't it the way every Christian should be when the devil comes and says, well, I can't do nothing there. They're listening to God, talking to God. What a huge concept is this. Amen. Wow. He's like, wow, this is great, man. Well, this is something we could do. Yeah, that's what God wants all of us to do. Yet I've been failing for so many years. And I wonder why many times you get down. We're not realizing how much he loves us. The devil will flee. Over in James, just a few pages to your right. In James chapter number 4. Look at these verses real quick. James 4, verse number 7. James 4:7.
And for time's sake, Brother Carr, would you mind turning to Daniel 6? I'll have you read a few verses, right? But all of us will look at James 4 and verse number 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's a great verse, amen? But look what it says, verse 8, the key to it. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. The verse 7 starts out, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Folks, if we're going to have this kind of victory in our life, what we must do is we have to, my point is this, the devil will flee. Now, how does that happen? Because we're drawing nigh to God. As we draw closer to the Lord, the devil, he'll see what's going on just in our silly picture here, and he'll flee from those things. It's great when you stop and think about it, all right? You guys stand up here again, all right, if you don't care, all right? And Corby, come up here, all right? Brother Dan, you come here, all right? Stand right there. Way over here, all right? That's good. Corby, he's right here. Here's Corby. Brother Dan, you're in good favor tonight, all right? Dan is a picture of God, and Jake's a picture of, sorry, all right, the devil, all right? And we can switch those later, all right? I love Jake. Jake's a blessing. And here's Corby. Corby's sitting there listening, and he's not praising the Lord, and he's not giving him praise, and he doesn't have that ear for God, and he doesn't look for the things of God. You know what happens? He gets discouraged. You know what happens? He gets down. And the first time something bad happens, he's all complaining and murmuring. And pretty soon, the devil's got his arm around him and whispering in his ear. All right? And pretty soon, Corby's a defeated Christian. The Bible says if we're going to resist the devil, he will flee. But what happens is Corby sits here and he wants to praise God. Corby says, you know what? I am going to take this, Pastor, and I'm going to start praising the Lord. And he looks up to heaven. Thanks God for his family. Go ahead. Makes him draw closer to the Lord. According to that verse in James, what happens? As you draw nigh to God, what's God do? Take a step. That's good. Oh, this is good stuff. Amen. The devil sits there and says, well, I ain't going to let this happen, right? So, oh, wait a second. There's some distance here. Isn't that great? But the devil still tries, right? Make him tell him to murmur. Right? But instead, he doesn't listen. You know what he does? He thanks God for the farm he lives on. Go ahead. That is a blessing, man. These kids don't have a home today. These kids living on the street tonight. And he thanks God. And man, boy, God's been good to me. And as he draws nigh to God, draws nigh to him, the devil's, oh, wait a second. You know what the devil's going to do here? He's going to try. Wait a second, this is not working. And he tries to say, let's complain about siblings. Oh, yeah, all right? All right, tell him, say, your sisters, they're destroying your life. All right, you know what Corby does? Well, this is going to hurt, man. But look up to heaven. Thank God for your sisters. Did you mean that?
Yeah.
All right, good, all right? Now, the devil wanted him to complain about his sisters. But instead, he rejoiced about his sisters. So he takes a step towards God. You draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to you. And the devil's sister says, try to make him complain about his church. Say your church is terrible. Does the devil ever say these things to us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But instead, you know what Corby's going to do? Thank God for your church. Boy, ain't God good to you here? I mean, look around you. You got brothers and sisters in Christ here. You're hearing the truth tonight. Isn't it great? You get to play handbells and make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I mean, God's good. I mean, look at this place. And as he praises the Lord, he draws closer to God, and the Lord draws closer to him. You know what the devil figures out pretty soon? The devil figures this out. The more I keep trying to discourage him, the closer it makes him to God. So guess what the devil does? What's the verse say?
Please.
See ya.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He ain't going to keep doing that.
He's pushing him towards God. When we've got a mind to praise Him, do you think the devil's got to try? The devil's already whispering. Some of you guys just preach too long. All right? Yeah. I mean, I understand that, right? But instead, we say, you know what? No. Thank you, God, for preaching of your word.
Yes.
And you know what happens? You draw closer to God, and the devil says, oh, man. And he realizes pretty soon, that's what that verse is talking about. You submit yourself to God. You have a joyful heart to God. You praise the Lord in everything. You resist the devil. By the way, resist the devil doesn't mean walking over here and putting your dukes up. Put them up, man. Because you know what's going to happen? He's going to lose. You'll lose every time. You know how you resist the devil? Nah, man. Say your church is terrible again. Oh, praise God for your church. And you pass. You know what happens? That's how you resist the devil. And as you draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to you. Put your arm around Him, man. Pretty soon you're right there. And you hear His voice. And you feel His touch. And you see Him working in your life. And the devil's throwing a temper tantrum over here. Don't do it. And the devil's throwing a temper tantrum over here. He can't stand what's going on in that man's life. And so the devil flees. And you got victory. You got victory. And you ought to live, by the way, every day like this. So I'm just not quite there. Then praise Him. Because the more you praise Him, the closer you'll get to Him. And the closer you get to Him, the farther He gets away from you. Now you know what happened? Gorby goes on with his life. Some of you are taking that challenge and doing that now. 6 months from now, the devil's going to come back over to Corby and say, I still think your church is terrible. I still think the preacher preaches too long. I still think they're a little overbearing. And I still think that, you know, that they just need to get off your back. Why don't you quit church? And what are you going to say? Tell him. Well, he's out of here then. He'll come back. He'll test to see where you are. And over this time, in the next 6 months, if he stops praising the Lord and he doesn't see His praises, now he's not going to move. But he doesn't, because God doesn't move, amen? But he starts, and he doesn't have that walk with the Lord like and just praising His name and thanking Him. And pretty soon he hasn't praised Him in a month. And the devil comes and says the same thing. If you're not there, guess what? You might start thinking that way. That's why we'll get some victory in the next month. We're going to start praising the Lord and drawing close to the Lord. The Lord draws close to us. Man, we're excited praising the Lord. 6 months from now, you better still be doing it. Because you'll drift. The devil will whisper. And you're going to listen to somebody. You're going to listen to somebody. I changed my mind by the car. We're going to stop there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thanks, men.